As we turn to God's word today, the subject that I want us to consider is the subject of Christian thankfulness. The subject of Christian thankfulness. In the opening words of the psalm we read earlier, we see that the subject of thankfulness is suddenly and abruptly brought before us. The psalmist commences by saying, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord." And so as we come to this portion of Scripture, we're confronted right away with the theme of thankfulness and how we as God's people should be a thankful people. Now in this psalm, as with all the psalms, it is important to pay close attention to the title. The title in Psalm 92 reveals to us this song is one that is to be used particularly on the Sabbath day. The title reads, "A Psalm or Song for the Sabbath Day." The 92nd psalm then was given by the Holy Spirit to the people of God to help and guide them in how they should worship on the Lord's Day or on the Sabbath day. It is a song that is to be sung as God's people come together for worship. With this in mind, it is then significant that the opening words focus very clearly upon giving thanks. Here God gives to his people a song for the Sabbath. And the opening words of the song are, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord." This teaches us in the most unmistakable manner that as God's people come together to worship, they are collectively to meet, to give thanks and gratitude unto the Lord. Our hearts should be filled with praise and adoration for all he has done. This should mark our worship. As we come into God's presence, as we do so, we should do so with the very attitude of the hymn writer. As the hymn writer says, coming before God with humble, thankful hearts. This should mark the Christian's worship as we come to church, as we meet together. People should be able to say, those people are a thankful people. Those people are rejoicing. Those people are praising God. This is how our Sabbath should be filled. With a sense of thankfulness and adoration and gratitude and praise for our God and Savior. Of course, we come to consider the subject of thankfulness. It is important to understand something of what the word thank, or thanks here actually means. The words, the psalmist declares in these words that it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. But what is it that he's speaking of here? What exactly is he referring to as he talks of thanks in this psalm? Well, the Hebrew word translated thanks here in our English Bible is the word yada. The word yada. Now, this word yada literally means to throw, shoot, or cast. To throw, shoot, or cast. For example, we read in Jeremiah 50, verse 14, "Put yourselves in array against Babylon round about. All ye that bend the bow, shoot at her." The word translated shoot in this verse is from yada, from the same Hebrew word translated thanks in Psalm 92. And think of what Jeremiah is saying there. Those that are coming against Babylon are to bend the bow and shoot at her. And here's the thought of someone taking aim and shooting an arrow at the direction of Babylon, aiming for a target and wanting to hit that target. Again, we read in Lamentations 3, verse 53. "They have cut off my life in the dungeon and cast a stone upon me." This time the word cast is translated out of the Hebrew word yada. And think again of the imagery here. Think of someone taking a stone and casting it upon another stone. They lift the stone and they throw it at that person. They take aim and they hit the person with the stone. This then gives us some insight into what God's Spirit means as he uses this word yada to speak of giving thanks unto the Lord. Giving thanks unto the Lord involves the Christian with force and effort shooting our appreciation and casting our gratitude upon the Lord. That's what we're doing when we give thanks unto God. We're coming before him and we're casting, as it were, our gratitude, our thankfulness, our praise upon the Lord. What we really need to note is this. Giving thanks is not a passive, inactive thing. Rather, it is something which involves activity. Something that involves energy. The person that is giving thanks unto the Lord does not merely say, oh, well, I'm a thankful person. And I'm thankful of the blessings and benefits that God has bestowed upon me. Oh, I'm thankful for these things. Instead, they continually shoot the arrows and cast the stones of thankful worship and praise at the Lord. This is what it is to be thankful, you see. It involves worship itself. It involves coming before God. It involves seeking after God. It involves casting upon the Lord our worship and our thanks and our praise. This is the very nature and character of giving thanks. It is the act of worship. We come before the Lord with zeal and passion and cast upon the Lord the gratitude and appreciation of our hearts for all that He has done and all He continues to do for us. The day then, as we come to this passage, I want us to think of why it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. This is what the psalmist says here. This is what he declares. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. But why is this the case? Why is it good for us to come together, even on the Sabbath day, and to give thanks unto the Lord? Why is it a good thing in our own homes and with our families to give thanks unto the Lord? Why is this a good thing? Well, there are three things I want us to note in regard to why it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Firstly, we can say it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord because giving thanks to the Lord is righteous. It is a righteous thing. This is something that is made abundantly clear in our text. The word good in this verse, the opening verse of this psalm, not only means good in the sense of attractive and pleasant, and of course that is true of giving thanks, it is an attractive thing, it is a pleasant thing. When people are thankful, well, that's pleasant and good behavior in that sense. It's attractive behavior. But this word goes beyond that. It also means good in the sense of morally good. Something that is good and right as opposed to something that is wrong and evil. And so as we read this verse, we could read it is a right thing. Indeed, we could read it, is it a righteous thing to give thanks unto the Lord? To give thanks unto the Lord is then a holy and virtuous thing. This is righteous behavior. This is good conduct. This is something I believe we as God's people often overlook and neglect. We don't see this as holy living, as righteous living, giving thanks unto God. We receive and enjoy every day all of the many benefits and blessings which God bestows upon us, the temporal blessings of life, our food and our clothes and our homes and our jobs and all that we have. And we have so much in Western society. We are so blessed temporally. And we receive all of the spiritual blessings of life. God's salvation. Access into God's presence. God's Spirit with us. And all of the graces that God bestows upon us as His people. And we receive these continually. Yet, if we do not return thanks for these things, if we do not come before God and come with worship and gratitude in our souls, we behave in an unrighteous manner. And we sin against God. We sin against God. You see, unthankfulness is unrighteousness. It is sin. Indeed, it is spoken of in Scripture as great evil. And perhaps this is the mistake we make when it comes to being thankful. Not to be thankful, to be unthankful, is emphasized in Scripture as a great evil and as a wicked thing. Turn over with me to the New Testament for a moment, to 2 Timothy and to the chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, I want you to turn to a number of references with me here just to emphasize this because I believe this is something that is often overlooked. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Here Paul is writing to Timothy about the last days. And he speaks to him of the wickedness and the sin that will prevail at that time. But see what it says here in the opening four verses in 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. We have here read in these verses a list of the wickedness and the evil which will mark the last days. What a list of sin, what a list of iniquity. But notice at the end of verse 2, included in this catalogue of evil is the sin of unthankfulness. The Apostle Paul was telling Timothy, in the last days, those days of terrible wickedness and evil, one of the sins that will mark those days is the sin of unthankfulness. You see, when we fail to give thanks unto the Lord, it is not something that is just a little matter. Unthankfulness is not a small sin that we shouldn't take seriously. We see here, it is a great evil. God, the Holy Spirit, puts it into the same category as those that are covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. Blasphemers. Unthankfulness is a great and wicked sin. Turn over with me also to Luke chapter 6 and the verse 35. Notice what it says here. Luke 6 and the verse 35. The Lord is speaking here about how we are to love our enemies and how this is what he does. He shows his kindness towards those who are wicked. But notice what it says here in verse 35 in Luke 6. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Now, notice here how the Lord is describing the evil here. The word unthankful is synonymous with the word evil, really, in this verse. This is how he's pointing out the wicked. They're the unthankful. Unthankfulness is a characteristic of wicked and evil men. And this is what the Savior is saying. But turn with me to another reference, one more here, and that is Ezekiel chapter 16. Ezekiel chapter 16. Notice what it says in verses 49 and 50 here in Ezekiel 16. These verses speak about the people of Sodom. Notice what it says. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. They were haughty and committed abominations before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw good. The Lord's speaking of what he did in Sodom here. Notice he speaks about their sin. This was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread. Fullness of bread. Now, the plains of Jordan were well watered. And there were places of abundance. And that's why Lot pitched his tent towards that place. Because it was a place where he had become wealthy. And there's nothing wrong with becoming wealthy. There's nothing wrong with being blessed by God in the good things of life. If the Lord blesses you, there's nothing wrong with that. And why does it speak here about fullness of bread? Was it because they were wealthy? Was it because they were in a place of prosperity that God's judgment fell upon them? No. Well, what it's speaking about here is they had fullness of bread, and yet even though they had this, they were unthankful. Even though they had fullness of bread, they were filled with pride. And this is what the Lord is pointing out here. Their unthankfulness, even though they had so much. And so in Scripture, unthankfulness is clearly identified as a great evil. This is why the Apostle Paul, as he wrote to God's people in different places, he commanded them to give thanks. In fact, this was continually the message of God's servant as he wrote his different letters. Writing to the Christians in Colossae, he said to them in Colossians 3, verse 15, be thankful. To the believers in Ephesus, Paul said in Ephesians 5 and 20, in giving thanks always for all things unto God. And that's comprehensive. As Christians, as God's people, we are to give thanks always for all things. This is to be our continual state of heart and mind. Giving thanks always for all things. And then speaking to God's people in Thessalonica, he commanded in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Think of these words. When we're not thankful, when we do not worship the Lord with gratitude and praise for his goodness towards us, then we're living outside the will of God. That's what we're doing. We're living outside the will of God. Being thankful is righteous. It is holy and virtuous behavior. Of course, the one who is our great example in giving thanks is the perfect man, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he was the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Yet in the Gospels, we read of how Christ gave thanks always for all things unto God. The Lord Jesus gave thanks to his Father for his food. We read in Matthew 15, verse 36, "And he took the 7 loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and broke them." This was the Lord feeding the multitude. He got the food and he gave thanks. He gave thanks unto God for the food that was put into his hand. And this is what we are to do, follow the example of our Savior. To give thanks for the food that we have, for the what we could call the simple blessings of life. We're to receive these with thankfulness to God. The Lord Jesus gave thanks to his Father for his food. The Lord Jesus also gave thanks to his Father for his fellowship. We read of this in John 11, verses 41 and 42. Christ prayed, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I know that thou hearest me always." Think of this. This was Christ as the Son of Man, giving thanks that his Father in heaven heard him, that he had communion with him. Oh, as Christians, this is something that ought to fill our hearts with thankfulness and praise. That we have fellowship with God today. That there is a way into God's presence, a way into God's court. And we can speak with the King of Kings. We can draw nigh to him today, and he will accept us, and he will hear us. Christ gave thanks unto his Father for his fellowship and for his food. The Lord Jesus also gave thanks to his Father for his flock. Listen to what is said in Luke 10, verse 21. "In that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes." See what the Savior was saying there. He was thanking the Lord that he had revealed the truth to these his people. And these people were his people. And he thanked the Lord for this. He thanked the Lord for his flock. And again, this ought to be true of us as God's people. We should thank the Lord for our brothers and sisters. Give thanks unto God for those that we worship with, those that God has brought into his fold with us. This is something we ought to give thanks for. The truth is, a Christ-like life will be marked with a holy thankfulness. A Christ-like life will be marked by a holy thankfulness. So God's people, we then need to pray that God would give to us more and more the grace of thankfulness. And that we would not sin against God by being unthankful in heart and in life. This is a great duty, a great responsibility, being thankful. And so giving thanks to God is important because giving thanks is a righteous thing. But then secondly, notice with me here, giving thanks unto the Lord is important because giving thanks to the Lord is our responsibility. It's our responsibility. Again, this is something that we see in this psalm. See what it says in verses 1 and 2 here in this psalm. "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night." Now, do you see here the connection between giving thanks unto the Lord and showing forth his loving kindness and faithfulness. What the psalmist is really saying here is, it is a good thing to give thanks to God and to praise the Most High, for in so doing, we show forth in this world God's loving kindness and faithfulness. And this is what happens when we give thanks unto the Lord. We show forth the greatness of our God. We magnify the Lord. We bring honor to Him. To show forth God's loving kindness and faithfulness, to display the glory and greatness of our God, is the Christian's responsibility in this world. This is our duty. This is why the Lord has given to us life and breath. That we might magnify Him. That we might live for His honor. That we might set Him apart in this world. Think of those words of the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 2 verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. This is why we're saved. This is why Christ has taken us to be His. That we as His own people might show forth the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. The Christian then in this world has a responsibility to show forth God's loving kindness and faithfulness, to reveal His glory and splendor. Yet one of the most important ways we can do this is by living a life of thankfulness. One of the most important ways we can show forth the glory and majesty of our God is by living a life of thankfulness. In fact, we cannot show forth the praises of Him who has called us unless we are thankful in heart and in life. You see, when the believer is marked by thankfulness, when the Christian in life is seen to give thanks unto the Lord, they then set forth and acknowledge a number of things about God. They set forth and acknowledge a number of things about God. We can say the thankful Christian is acknowledging God's person. They're acknowledging God's person. They're acknowledging that God is the creator and sustainer of all things. This is what we do as we give thanks unto God. It is a recognition of the very existence of God. It is a recognition that He is the one who is sovereign. And in His sovereignty, He rules over all. And this is what it recognizes. When we give thanks, we're saying, listen, you're God. And you're the creator and you're the sustainer. James says in James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. As we give thanks for the ordinary blessings in life, our food and our clothes and all that we enjoy, and as we give thanks for the extraordinary blessings in life, salvation, and all the benefits of it, we're acknowledging there is a higher power. There's one who is the Father of lights, and He is to be worshipped and praised by man with thankfulness. This is what we're doing. We're acknowledging God's person. Unthankfulness is then unbecoming for the professing Christian, because it is to deny God His rightful place. It is to deny God His rightful place. That He's the one who is to be worshipped, who is to be thanked. When we are unthankful, we deny God His rightful place. And you see, when we give thanks unto God, we are acknowledging His person before this world. For example, if you went into a restaurant and you ordered a meal, and as the meal came, you gave thanks before you ate it, all of those people around you in the restaurant would understand there's a person who acknowledges God's person. There's an individual, and he's acknowledging God exists. And He's alive. And you see, that thankfulness in the heart, giving thanks unto God for that food, is a testimony to this world that there is a God. That He's real. And so the thankful Christian acknowledges God's person. The thankful Christian also acknowledges God's provision. This, of course, is what thankful Christians do when they return thanks unto God for His many blessings. They are acknowledging that that which they have and enjoy is because God has been gracious. And God has been kind and good. The reason why people are unthankful is because they think that through their own efforts and labors, they have what they possess. They think that they have what they have because they have earned it for themselves. And it's all their own doing. Think of the rich, foolish farmer. This was his mindset. This was his attitude. He had made it himself. He was wealthy now. He was prosperous because of what he had done. But God's word clearly teaches us all that we have is the direct result of God's gracious hand. It is because of his merciful provision. His merciful provision. Job was a mighty man of wealth, a man with vast riches and possessions. Yet remember what Job said when the Lord permitted his wealth and riches to be taken away. Job declared in Job 1:21, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." See what Job was doing? He was acknowledging all that he had was because of God's provision. Because of God's bounty and his goodness. This is what we do as we give thanks. We acknowledge God's goodness and kindness towards us. That God is the great provider. That he's the giver of every good and perfect thing. And so giving thanks not only acknowledges God's person, that he exists, it also acknowledges that God's the great provider who's blessed us and we've received it from his hand. But also the thankful Christian acknowledges God's power. They acknowledge God's power. One of the greatest testimonies to the power of the gospel is the thankful heart and a grateful spirit. We've many examples of this in the book of Acts. But perhaps the greatest of all these examples was that time Paul and Silas were cast into prison in the city of Philippi. Turn over with me to Acts 16 just for a moment. And notice what it says here in Acts 16 in the verses 22 to 24. Acts 16, verse 22 reads, "And the multitude rose up together against them. And the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and nailed their feet fast in the stocks." What a terrible situation this was. It was shocking. Here were men and they were going around preaching and they were arrested, they were beaten, and they were put in the stocks. Have you ever seen the response of Paul and Silas to this persecution? Verse 25 tells us, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." What a testimony this was to the power of the gospel. Here were men who were beaten. Here were men who were suffering physically. And we must never think that these men, the Lord preserved them from suffering pain. That was not the case, I believe. Here were men who were physically suffering. And yet they were filled with praise and thankfulness to God. And notice what it says here at the end of verse 25. "And the prisoners heard them." Why do we read that? Well, I believe we read that because God's Spirit wants us to know that as these men give thanks unto God, as these men give praise, it was a powerful testimony in the prison house that night. And of course, we know what happened. The jailer was converted that very night. The jailer was converted. And I do not believe we're stretching Scripture too far to say this. That it was the thankfulness of Paul and Silas that was the great testimony to the jailer in the prison. What a powerful witness to the power of the gospel were these servants of God as they give thanks and praise the Lord. As God's people, when we face the trials and problems of life with thankfulness, it is a tremendous and mighty testimony to the transforming power of the gospel. What a testimony it is. When we suffer the trials of life, and we do suffer trials in life, we're part of a cursed world. And that means that we're all going to suffer times of difficulty, times of distress, times of heartache, because we're part of a world that's cursed. And the tears won't be wiped away until we enter the new world to glory itself. But as we suffer in this world of sin and iniquity, with thankfulness, what a testimony that is. When we're not bitter, when we're not resentful, against God. That's a powerful testimony and witness to the power of the gospel. Many years ago, when I was working as a heating engineer, I came into contact with a man in Belfast. He was an elderly man. He lived by himself. And I went out to fix his fire. And I became friendly with him. And I would have called in to visit him different times if I was in Belfast and I had a moment or two. And I heard that he had a break-in in his home. He lived by himself in a terrace street in Belfast. And I'd heard that he had been broken into. And so I decided I would go and call in with him. And as I called in with him the day, and I says, "George, what happened?" And he told me what happened. It was just young people causing a nuisance. They weren't thieves or anything like that. They were just being pests. And he had a skylight in his kitchen, and they'd broken it, and they'd jumped down in, and they'd done a bit of racking. It was just to annoy. It was just bad behavior. And he told me all about it. And I says, "George, this is terrible. Oh, this is terrible. I am so sorry this has happened to you, George." I'll never forget what he said to me. He says, "No, it's not. No, it's not." He says, "God's in control. Everything happens for a reason. The Lord is in control, and he permitted those young men to break my window and come down into my house and to do whatever they did. It's not a terrible thing at all. Don't ever say that. Don't ever say that. It's not terrible at all. God's in control. He's working it all together for good." And even in this distressing situation for him, he was giving thanks. And he couldn't understand what it was that had happened or why it happened. But even though he couldn't understand, he yet was filled with thankfulness to God because of who the Lord was and his sovereignty. And it taught me a lesson. Here's a believer, and he's really giving thanks. Here's a man who's Christ-like. Here's a man who loves the Lord. And what can he do? Well, he can't stop giving thanks, even in bad times. He can't help himself. What a wonderful testimony to the power of the gospel. Think again of the words of Job. And who suffered like Job? Lost everything. What did he say? "The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." By contrast, when we are unthankful, when we complain, in the ears of the ungodly, moan. What a bad testimony that is. How damaging that is to God's work. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, because giving thanks to the Lord is a righteous thing, and it's our responsibility. It's our responsibility. This is what we're called to do, to show forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Notice then one last thing with me here. That is, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, because giving thanks to the Lord is rewarding. It is rewarding. This is seen in the latter part of this psalm. See what it says in verses 12 and 15 here in Psalm 92. "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing." To show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Now see here how verse 13 says, "Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God." And the thought is, those that be found in the house of the Lord giving thanks. Giving thanks. Remember what the psalm is. It's a psalm that is to be sung on the Sabbath day. And we're told in verse 1 that it is good to give thanks unto the Lord. So this is speaking about God's people coming together on the Sabbath day to give thanks unto the God. And then it says in verse 13, "Those that be planted in the house of the Lord," doing this, giving thanks in the Sabbath day, what about them? "Shall flourish in the courts of our God." They shall prosper. They shall prosper. You see, the thankful heart, the thankful Christian will be growing and developing spiritually. They will be growing and developing in the things of God. There will be progress. There will be advancement. This is brought before us in an incident that took place in Christ's earthly ministry. Just in closing, turn with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Notice what it says here in this portion of God's Word. Luke chapter 17, and we'll read from verse 11. Luke chapter 17, verse 11, it tells us, and it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem, that is, as Christ went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, that stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go, show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. He was a Samaritan. Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. So here we have an incident where the Lord cleansed 10 men from leprosy. They were healed, cured from this terrible disease. But only one returned back. Only one came back, and only one gave thanks to God. Only one returned to worship, to shoot the arrows of worship before Christ. But notice the words at the end of verse 19. Thy faith hath made thee whole. What is this speaking about? This is speaking about spiritual blessings. Well, he had already been cured of leprosy. He had already received physical blessing from Christ. And so had the other 9. They had been cleansed. A wonderful miracle had taken place in their life. But this man, he was different. He was made whole. He entered God's family. He became a true believer that day. He was converted. In fact, we can say that day, he came to inherit eternal life itself. He came to inherit eternal life. And it was because he returned back and worshipped God with thankfulness. Thankfulness. The story in Luke 17 not only teaches us God is pleased when his people come to him and worship with thankfulness and gratitude, but it also teaches us if we are to know God's blessing in our lives, then it is imperative we continually give thanks unto the Lord. This is imperative. If we are to grow, if we are to be those that are flourishing in the courts of our God, then we must come to worship with thankfulness. Real thankfulness unto God. Is this how you've come to God's house today? Let me ask you that. Here we are in God's house. Have you come to God's house today with a sense of, I must go and give thanks unto my God. I must worship him. Because he's been so good to me. He has blessed me temporally. More than that, he has blessed me spiritually. He's given me eternal life. I must go and I must sing his praises. I must seek him in prayer. I must listen to his word with thankfulness because of what he has done for me. This is what we're commanded to do. This is what it is to be thankful. And if we behave in this way, we will know God's blessing. We will prosper and we will flourish in the courts of our God. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. May God be pleased to make us a thankful people. I trust God will bless his word to our hearts for his own name's sake. Amen and amen.